the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In our epistle today, St. Paul admonishes the members of the Ephesian church to walk as children of the light and to try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. So our lives are lived every day unto God, each and every day, seeking His will over our own will. I remember when His Grace Bishop Basil, actually it was his last archpastoral visit here, he had a meeting with then, I guess it was our, I don't know if they were young adults or college age or what. I'm not sure what the classification of our young people were at that time. But he asked them a question. We had lunch at my house, at our house, and he started this meeting out with this question. What gives rhythm to your life? What gives rhythm to your life? What gets you up out of the bed every day? Is it your job? Is it the pursuit of some hobby or some other form of pleasure? What keeps you going? What centers your life? And of course, what he was after is that God needs to be what gives us life. Rather not what, but who gives us life and the rhythm of our life. The church calendar gives us that. We remember God. We remember His saints. We remember His saints because we remember the work of God in those saints. And those saints lived lives that were in the light of Christ. They lived lives that were characterized by the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And when you saw the saints, you saw Christ. This is what he is calling the church at Ephesus to in today's epistle. And here we see this contrast between the light of Jesus Christ made known to man through the incarnation of our Lord on the one hand, and as St. Paul puts it, the unfruitful works of darkness on the other. Instead of participating in these works of darkness vis-a-vis sin, we are called to expose them. This kind of exposure is necessary because, for one thing, we have the responsibility to represent to the watching world the difference between the light of Christ and the darkness of sin. But of equal importance, we must expose the darkness in our own hearts to the light of Christ so that the forgiveness of God for our own sins might bring us to salvation in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, that's what needs to give us rhythm in our lives daily, each and every day. St. Paul writes, anything that is exposed by the light becomes light. Darkness exposed to the light becomes light. The theme of light is prominent in Orthodox theology. And this illumination, this reality of illumination, is at the heart of what repentance is all about. Darkness, our darkness, sins, our sins, voluntarily confessed unto God in the presence of the priest in a sacramental way, but that's not the only time we do it. As a matter of fact, by the time you come to the sacrament of penance, that should have already happened in your heart of hearts. To turn away. And so that illumination reveals to us the things that need to change. And we have to have this willingness to act on that from our hearts, not to make an impression on somebody else. The only impression that needs to be made is on God. And that's what we call to. Today, among other things, we contemplate the superiority of the light of Christ over the darkness of Satan, sin, and death. How we as Christians conduct our lives matters. So now we come to today's gospel, in which our Lord Jesus Christ tells a parable regarding a great banquet to which a man invited many. However, the reception of this invitation by those who were initially invited was sullied categorically by every excuse known to man. Business, family concerns, or even worse, addiction to the dark pleasures of sin. The list goes on and on. Of course, this reference is to the nation of Israel, which for the most part rejected Christ as the Messiah, whose banquet is the kingdom of God, whereby the true sons and daughters of God are to be revealed. When all of these excuses became evident, the one who had issued the initial invitation, even Christ himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, became angry and extended the invitation to any and all who had responsive hearts. Hearts that were soft toward God. So the Gentiles, which includes you and me, my friends, were offered the indescribable gift of salvation. The unbelievable, indescribable opportunity to become like God. God became man that man might become God or like God. We don't become God in his nature, but by grace we do become God. We become like God or God-like. That is what the spiritual life is all about. Reclaiming this image that has been sullied, this image of God in you and me that has been sullied by darkness. But by the grace and mercy of God, it can be cleaned up. And it must be. And yet many refuse the invitation. Now I ask you, in what way do we acknowledge and respond affirmatively to this invitation to which our Lord Jesus Christ invites us to his heavenly banquet? The answer is by the way we live each and every day. We say yes to our Lord's invitation when we repent of the dark sin in our lives and embrace and live the life of Jesus Christ each and every day. Because of the grace and mercy of God, we're able to be set free from the shackles of the passions. But this reality must be fleshed out in our lives each and every day. Christianity is the way of life whereby repentant sinners are reconciled and united to the Holy Trinity through Christ our Lord. When our faith ceases to be grounded in our day-to-day experience, God becomes distant to us, or rather, we become distant from God. The church gives us this time of preparation during the fast of the Nativity to celebrate the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ with soft hearts, with repentant hearts, with a new resolve to become like him, a new resolve to let the rhythm of God's life in his church guide and direct our activities of each and every day. The church gives us this time to prepare to celebrate the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who became like us so that we could have the opportunity to become like him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.